For this season of Remote Insights, we'll be releasing an episode every 2 weeks featuring founders, CEOs, VPs, and many tech experts that will share their industry insights on remote work, building distributed teams, and even tips on landing your great job. So be sure to keep an eye out every couple of weeks. Today, we'll be exploring the ins and outs of being a digital nomad. For this, we have Noelia Guarcetti with us. Noe is a senior recruiting analyst here at Nexton. She has more than 10 years of experience in human resources and tech recruiting, but today she's here to share her experience with being a remote worker while traveling around the world. The perks, the ins, the outs, the challenges, and everything in between of the lifestyle that so many professionals around the world aspire to live, which is obviously digital nomadism. So hi, Noe. Thank you for joining us. How are you doing on this fine day?
Hi, Ali. Hi, everyone. I'm really good. Excited to be at home after 4 months. So thank you for having me today. I'm really excited to share all this information I gather in the past year and a half, actually.
So for everyone out there listening, at Nexton, we promote this life-changing opportunity for everyone to, you know, become a digital nomad if they wish to be. And Noe here is a prime example that this lifestyle knows no boundaries. So Noe, the term digital nomad came into use just a few years ago, obviously after globalization and as remote work, you know, started becoming like the new normal. So some people aren't familiar with the term yet. What does being a digital nomad mean to you?
Well, that's a great question, actually, because there are a lot of information and definitions about it. But for me, it's the possibility of having my entire work life online. It means my workspace materializes every time I sit in front of the computer, that the tools I need to connect with my team, to manage my schedule, to deliver my work, they will all be there no matter where I am. And for a person who loves to travel, that translates into an incredible sense of freedom. Being a digital nomad for me is the possibility to fulfill my professional and my personal dreams and not having to pass one to pursue the other.
I love that you said, you know, that work follows you, not the other way around.
Exactly.
You're not following work, it's following you. So when did you first start traveling the world as a remote worker? I think that you just mentioned that it was like a year and a half ago. But yeah, we were wondering when you first started, you know, this lifestyle.
Well, actually, my first trip by myself was when I was 22 years old, so 10 years ago.
Wow.
But I became a digital nomad, I think, even if I didn't know it at the time, the minute I signed the contract with Nexton. I had never worked remotely before. I had barely worked from home. And at the time, you know, of the lockdown, I was working in an essential services industry. So I think I did 2 weeks of home office during the entire pandemic period. But it was a trigger, you know. I realized that my career was going in the wrong direction. So I decided to take control again and quit my job without nothing more than the hope of finding something different. But never, not in my craziest dreams, I thought I'd find an opportunity like Nexton. I love to travel, but I had no idea of how many possibilities remote work will present to me. I've always been kind of nomad in the way I used to use my time off to go as further as possible and explore new places to the fullest, not just to go on vacation, you know. But being a digital nomad has been a game changer. It's like I've been unchained.
I feel like every time we talk about this, the word freedom just pops up.
Yeah. Yeah, freedom and independence and dreams, like it's a lot to take in when you are given this amazing opportunity, because it comes up to what you want to do and finding the, you know, the courage to go ahead and do it.
So do you think that you have a better balance between your personal life and work since you became a digital nomad?
Absolutely. Especially when it comes to spending time with people I love. my family lives a couple of miles away from me. So instead of driving back and forth for a rush Sunday visit, I can just go and stay as much as I like at my parents' house. I was actually able to be there for my father after surgery. Last week, I went with my sister to Buenos Aires to see Coldplay on a Tuesday, and I didn't even have to ask for time off. And of course, it needs to be said, this is possible thanks to Nexon's policies and Nexon values. Having a flexible work schedule means I can be quite creative when managing my day-to-day. I'm actually able to prioritize both my personal and professional activities equally. And if all of this wasn't enough, almost a year ago, Nexon implemented a 4 days work week schedule, and the impact of this benefit, it's been immeasurable for me, and I believe for all of us in the company, because it's not only about having that extra day off to do whatever you want, it's also about how you organize your life around it and the positive effect it has on the quality of life. I'll be forever grateful for that.
It's interesting that you just mentioned, you know, organizing your life. And I do believe that, you know, managing work and traveling at the same time while being, you know, a nomad moving from place to place, I imagine that it does require a lot of organization. So how do you achieve the best results in your work without a home office, you know, without like a permanent place?
That's a great question. Disclaimer, I'm a control freak, but I think it's important to be organized. And in order to be organized, the most important thing you need to understand is the scope of your responsibilities and what they imply. I mean, I map the to-dos related to every project, task, or deadline to have an understanding of what are the essential elements I need to get. I need to be able to get the work done, like time, space, setup, connectivity. And I try to plan ahead accordingly. Not only my schedule, but also my location. I want to work from this place tomorrow. Is it compatible with the task I'll be required to perform? And on the same level, it's quite essential to know yourself and what elements or habits boost your productivity. To wrap up the answer to your question, I think I'm constantly looking for ways to work smarter. Because as a digital nomad, especially if you're constantly on the move, you're always off your comfort zone, and things can get hectic easily if you don't have a strategy.
I can imagine how everything can become, you know, hectic and even chaotic without having a structure and organization. Just like you mentioned, like being able to obviously not prepare for like long term, but in the short term, like where I'm going to be tomorrow and next week, can I work there? Is this compatible with what I have to do? That was super interesting. So I was also wondering, what places do you work when you're traveling? Like, for instance, you know, I don't know, you're somewhere deep in Europe and your work day at least is about to begin. Where do you go to work?
That's a very smart question, because I tried to work from a lot of different places. Even though I think I have quite a background and experience when it comes to travel, it's not the same. It was the very first time for me working while traveling. Like I said, I've never worked from home before. So the first thing I did was to tiptoe around the idea. Like I was at Rosario at my home, so I decided, okay, I'm going to try working from a bar, I'm going to try working from a co-work. And then I remember when I felt comfortable with it and I realized that some environments are work for me and my work, and some others don't quite fit the needs I have for day-to-day tasks, like, for example, performing an interview. So when I realized what I needed, then I decided to go to Patagonia for 2 months, and I work from places I rented. Like I was in kind of my own house. I also work from a cabin in a cottage in the mountain because I make sure I have a good Wi-Fi connection. And in this past trip in Europe, I went fully hostel working life. And I actually researched a lot of the facilities and other travelers or digital nomads' comments about the Wi-Fi connection or the environment. Is this a hostel where there are a lot of party going around or a lot of families and a lot of kids? So it's a lot of researching ahead and trusting other travelers to make sure, you know, they're in the same situation that you are. So to make sure you have firsthand information. So if there is a dining room, there is a resting area, there is a co-work inside the hostel, there is a lot of, you know, different possibilities. And it depends on when you land and you check out, like, how it really is. But I always trust all other digital nomads. They have the best tips for where to work, especially in hostels.
I love that there's this community, like as you mentioned, well, from your description, what I gather is that there is a community around being a digital nomad, and that's amazing, being able, just like you said, to rely on, you know, others' perspectives and experience. It must feel good to feel that you're not alone in this, maybe.
As you said, the right word is community, because of course, when you go to a co-work, you know that everyone is in the same situation that you are, like they are actually online and working. But for example, in a hostel where you have a common room and you realize that a lot of people are, you know, connected to their computers and working, there is like a huge sense of support when you have to join a meeting. Like you raise your hand and you say, okay, I'm going to join a meeting. And everyone just try to keep quiet while you are online on the meeting or in the interview or whatever. And then you reciprocate, you know, it's not like, you know, someone else is doing an interview and you're, you know, putting music out loud. So that was like a really surprise for me. Like everyone is helping each other to succeed on what they're doing because they all believe like that's a lifestyle and it's not just like playing around to be traveling and working. It's just like a real commitment.
So could you share with us maybe like a typical day in your life as a digital nomad? What, like from the moment that you get up to the moment that the day ends, what does it look like?
Sure. I think it actually starts the day before because I usually plan ahead and I have my schedule on what are the things I need to do, what time my meeting starts, especially when I was in Europe, that I had a time difference. Mm-hmm. So for example, if I had meetings during the morning, my day will start as usual. Like if I was in Rosario, I will just wake up, grab my computer, have some coffee, go to a common area in the hostel, find a nice place to set my things up and just open my computer and start working. I try to be very focused when I'm working and I'm not usually distracted by other people doing other things. So I would be like sitting in a table while people is coming back and forward and I will just be like connected. As long as the day goes by, I try to realize, okay, is this a quiet environment? Is there many people going back and forward? Will I be able to take interviews from here? Or I need to start looking for some place else, like a more calm place. And considering what I said before, I usually had a good experience with it. I never have to move to somewhere else. So I'll just take the interview, upload my notes, and, you know, just the day pass by normally. And at 4 p.m. maybe, I will just close my computer and make sure I don't have any pending and open my phone and see, okay, where I'm going now. I'm going to sightseeing landmarks in this city, or can I go to the beach and just relax? Or there is something going on in the hostel that I want to join in, like a, you know, pub crawl or something more laid back, like movie night. But it's very social. Like being a digital nomad, especially in the hostel environment, is like you stop working and you start like, you know, being a tourist again. And again, I check what's my next day schedule before I wrap up my day. So I know how I'm going to tackle the next day, because if I only have meetings on the afternoon because of the time difference, I will probably take the morning off to go sightseeing, to go to the beach, to do some grocery shopping, to go to, you know, to do some running or any gymnastic activity, because it's important to keep some routines. You know, I one of the things I missed the most and I tried to catch up was I want to cook. I want to, you know, go to the gym. I want to do things I will do back at home too, apart from sightseeing, apart from tourism, and apart from work. Like those things you eventually kind of miss. So I put everything on my calendar and I try to make sure that I'm still following up on all those things too.
It's really interesting that you try to maintain a certain structure, not only like throughout your workday, but also, like you mentioned, throughout activities that you would normally do at home as well. I can also imagine that if you don't do that and if you stay like the entire amount of time that you're out there, just every day sightseeing and doing touristic things, that you might get a little bit tired as well.
It's
good to also have a few things that kind of like bring you back down to earth.
Exactly. You can't be always on, even though if you are in a place where you always wanted to be, there is a lot of logistics involved. Like there are schedules for the museums and timetables that you need to follow. It's not just like, oh, I'm finished up working, I'm going to go, you know, to this museum, and it's probably closed because at 6 p.m., yeah, it's closed. So you need to plan ahead, and that's really overwhelming. To give yourself permission, you know, to just relax and sometimes do nothing or go back to like the very normal things, like as I said before, exercising and cooking and just watch a movie. Just, you know, try it requires a lot of energy, and you need to make sure you're respecting your body and respecting your mind and giving it time to relax as well. So then you can go back to like high level of demanding yourself. And it's also, you know, when you're planning your trip and you're considering where I'm going to work from, like I try to go from small cities or countryside and then go to big cities and then go back again to countryside and then to big cities, because it's overwhelming. And because in big cities, there is a lot of commuting to do to go from one place to another. And there is a lot of more, you know, things to do. So it's usually crowded. So it's okay to go, you know, alternating kind of thing from the very demanding places and the more chill ones.
What recommendations and advice maybe would you give to remote workers that are looking to become digital nomads?
I think that the best recommendation, like an advice from my heart, is like just do it for the right reasons. Do it because you wanted to do it, because you want to do it, because you're curious about the world, because there is a place you want to see or you want to challenge yourself, because there is like a B-side of a lot of things to take into consideration that are not always like, they don't have that many visibility. So when it comes to recommendation, like the first one would be like, it's okay to tiptoe around the idea. I have a lot of experience traveling, and still I took it really lightly when I first started considering traveling a larger distance to work from there. I went to co-works, I went to friends' houses, I went to a bar, and I actually, you know, tried to understand what's taking, what do I need to do this. And then I went, like, I traveled around Argentina and I stayed in just one place, and I rented a house to make sure I had some control over, you know, it was the first time. So over the Wi-Fi and over the location and the environment I needed to do my job. And then I went very far away, and I went 4 months to Europe, and I traveled from a different city every week. And I worked from a different city every week. But, you know, tiptoe around the idea. It's okay to start small and build from it. The other recommendation, and I think this also applies like to not only to digital nomads, but to any person out there trying to, you know, keep control of their finance, is to budget. Be realistic with the budget you are going to need for this trip or to be a digital nomad, because the more freedom you want to have, the more flexibility you want to have, like when it comes to, you know, improvise a trip, or I decided just because of the spirit of the moment to go to a different place or to go to this city because there's going to be a concert and stuff. It's going to take a lot of money. Like, it's really expensive to like have these very last minute decisions. So budget for the trip and keep track of your expenses is the most important thing to do, because especially if there is a different currency on the place you are going to visit, planning ahead for sure helps a lot to save money, because it's not the same to arrive on a weekend or during weekdays. If you're going to Israel during Sabbath, it's going to be really expensive to move around because there nothing is working. So this information will give you power to be able to save a lot of money. There is a lot of things you can do that are very small things, but at the end of the day can change like your whole plans. And always, for example, always keep your gadgets and your laptop and your cell phone charged. Like, don't wait to the last minute to do that, because maybe all the sockets in the hostel are taken and you have to wait in line to charge your computer. So always try to get ahead of that and make sure you have everything you need to work. I think that's a very good recommendation. It's a very small tip, but it has helped me a lot. I think there is also something related to being realistic about your plans. Like traveling is slow is the best way to go, in my opinion, because you can really see a place and not being in a rush to go from one place to another. So planning ahead and traveling slow will help you to really enjoy this moment of your life that you're living as a digital nomad. I've met people going from, you know, 2 days from one city to another city, and then they changed their routine and they were traveling slow by train instead of airplanes. And it actually makes a difference, because there is a lot of logistics to take into consideration that it builds up, you know. So take it slow. That would be really, really important. And when it comes to, you know, if your work is linked to other people and you know you have to be on a certain meeting, or you have to meet a deadline or participate in something, be respectful to others' people's work and to others' people's schedule. Build your trip around your work and not the other way around, because your teammates don't have to pay for you living out there the dream. You know, if you have to be realistic, if you have to be on a meeting at 1 p.m. and you wake up at 9 and you want to go to the beach, but you have an hour commuting to the sea, then you probably won't be able to be at the meeting.
I feel like you've given us the digital nomad essentials, basically, and that's amazing. So very enlightening as well. So this is maybe more from like your professional perspective. You know, you're a recruiter. You are constantly looking at the market, not only the candidates, but also, you know, the companies that hire. So, you know, how do you see remote work impacting companies in the future? Like, do you feel that the number of digital nomads is growing, and will it continue to grow? What's your perspective on this?
It will continue growing, and a very, very large amount of people is just, you know, getting out there and traveling, and they are putting their desire and their dreams first. So companies need to be able to provide that freedom. Otherwise, they are probably going to lose talent. I've seen so many digital nomads in Europe. Everyone I befriend was basically working from the next table, or, you know, the we just started talking and, oh yeah, I'm a digital nomad too. So it's ridiculous, like, the amount of people who is out there and you don't even know. In Europe, especially, because the infrastructure allows you to do it, like, quite easily. You can rely on basically any Wi-Fi connection you come across, and you have a lot of infrastructure to actually work and you know, deliver. So I think, yes, it comes to stay. And also with the pandemic, I think we've been under lockdown for so long that there is a lot of people with the urge of taking advantage of their youth or the income, or just, you know, the ability to be out there and see the world. So I don't think that people is going to give that up. Like, now that everyone is doing it and everyone wants to do it, that there is a lot of people willing to take that step, you know, because I said it takes a lot of courage and it takes a lot of responsibilities. But after the lockdown, especially, it's just like it weighs a lot less, and you just want to go out and explore. So I definitely think it's going to keep growing, and companies need to step up and realize it's not the same to work from home that to work remotely. And there is a lot of freedom and trust that comes working with remote work. And everyone I met was so professional, and they were so passionate about their work. So the quality of what they were putting out there wasn't diminished by the fact that after working, they were just going to see, I don't know, the Coliseum.
Thank you for all of your wonderful insights. I feel like I've learned a lot throughout this. I just have one last question. Yeah. Could you describe in one word or one sentence what it feels like to be a digital nomad?
Of course, we said freedom and independence. And I think I talk a little bit about the responsibilities that comes with it. But if I have to say it in just one sentence, it would be like the possibility of fulfilled all your personal goals and desires while growing as a professional. Mm. And that has a tremendous value, because you don't need to put your life in pause just to do one thing and then wait for your time to do the other. You can just be yourself to the fullest.
So thank you, Noe, so much for joining us today. And I hope to see you traveling around the world, I hope.
Oh, thank you for having me. And I can't wait to meet you again in person. It's been a pleasure. And I hope I was able to share some of the things that are, you know, related to this experience of being a digital nomad.
As I mentioned, this season, we're actually bringing many tech industry experts that are going to share their, you know, industry specific knowledge with us. And you can listen to and even watch Remote Insights on Spotify, Apple, and YouTube. So whether you're a company looking for highly skilled professionals to join your teams, or whether you're a senior tech professional looking to land a long-term opportunity at a US company, visit nextonlabs.com to see how we can help you achieve that.